SchoolOwnerTalk.com with Allie Alberigo. Allie, great to be with you. Now we've got back to our normal Monday morning.
Yeah, I know. Well, people don't actually know, right, when we do our calls. So they, you know, I guess we do say when we're doing it, but we're kind of like doing a ton of calls, and we're always talking, you and I, so there's a lot going on.
Yeah, I just, you know, came off a busy weekend. My son just finished his 6-month volleyball season for his traveling volleyball, and it was funny because on Saturday they brought themselves up in the losers bracket all the way to second place for the standings, and then we went back there for Sunday, and it's like they just fell apart. I mean, they just we left early Sunday. Let's just put it that way. So I don't whatever mojo they had on Saturday, they didn't bring on Sunday.
Right, right. It's amazing, right? And it's interesting. Did you get all upset with the coach because they didn't win and blame the coach for their failure and everything and get angry or no?
No, and it was, no, not at all. And in fact, you know, of course, I thanked her for her tutelage to my son because this was the last time that we were going to see her. I mean, we'll see her throughout next year, but she's not going to be his coach again. He had her for 2 years, but I know where you're getting at. No, I didn't do that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It really is. It's just a matter of dynamics where people want to always, of course, blame people and blame others for, you know, for their child's or theirs or whatever their shortfall or whatever. And, you know, I only brought that up to be a little bit of a job buster in a way.
Nope, I got it. What did you do this weekend?
I was actually busy. I taught all day Saturday, which was awesome. Did my leadership team, and then I went right into my regular classes, and then afterwards we had a charity car wash, which was cool, and one of the parents owns tanning salons, and she said, oh, let's do a car wash. They're on a big main highway called Sunrise Highway out by us, and they were able to really, you know, stand out there on the highway with signs, and we actually raised almost $500 somewhere around there on the car wash. It was pretty exciting. So that was cool. And then I came home, relaxed a little. And, of course, you know, the minute I felt like I relaxed enough, I jumped right on the computer and started working again.
There you go. Yeah. My mom always says to me, or she says to other people about me, is that, you know, you can take the boy out of the business, but you can't take the business out of the boy.
Yeah. And you know what? For you and I think that it's quite this is the thing where they say, you know, if you enjoy your job, it's not like a job. It's like living a vacation or living your, you know, a fun life every day. And I couldn't imagine how people, and I know this happens every day, where they go into their job and they absolutely, without a doubt, just literally hate the job. They just can't stand being there. I see their posts on Facebook, 2 more hours until I get home, and it's Friday, and it's Monday, and they complain, complain, complain. And I feel so bad for those people that have to survive by doing something that they don't enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
so I mean, I definitely, you know, people say, oh, you're always working. I'm like, yeah, but it's kind of like enjoyment for me. I mean, I don't know what I'd be doing if, other than watching TV and relaxing around the pool, you know, I would be on the computer building websites and helping coach others and so on and so forth. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's nice to do what we love to do. So I know today we kind of wanted to touch on the subject of you know, your websites and not really stats per se, but I guess how leads and prospects and customers and all about how all of that is interconnected. And I wanted to bring this up before we, and I label things maybe a little bit differently than you. And so when I speak, I want the definitions to already be there when we start talking about them. But before I give the definitions of, for me, lead and prospect and customer, and is there anything you wanted to add to kind of set the stage before we begin?
Well, you're right, though, and there's extreme differences. I mean, we could probably even go one layer thicker and go like a suspect, somebody who's suspected of possibly having some sort of interest in what we do, and then a prospect, someone who's shown some interest in what we do, and then a lead, someone who acts upon the interest and has been engaged in what we do somehow, some way, and then, of course, a client. Right. And that's really, there are some major differences where I think in our industry, there are some coaching companies, some website development companies, and social media companies that are, they're basically, they're leading people down what I consider a very slippery path as far as, you know, leads and excitement. And I think that that's something that we should chat about.
Yeah, and I label, and I agree with what how you're labeling everybody. I would add one other thing is, and I'm sure you agree with this, is past clients. You know, obviously are in that category too when you start going through the hierarchy. The only thing that's different for me is I do have the suspects, I have the prospects, and I have the leads. Suspect to me is an individual that, you know, we got their information either A, from a birthday party, anti-abduction, bully seminar, whatever. They never contacted us.
Right.
We got them almost like cold calling is kind of how I refer to it. And then prospect for me is somebody that's actually contacted us, interested in XYZ offer, whatever the offer of the time is. And then a lead is someone who actually came in and did the trial. So I count somebody a lead when they actually have showed up for their first class. And I do that for staff purposes. I do that for automation purposes, obviously, because I need them. You know, we're going to treat those people differently and things happen differently for those different categories. But I want the listeners to understand that it doesn't matter what you call them as long as you are segmenting and defining your lists correctly. It could be A, B, and C. I mean, you could call your suspects the C and your prospects the B and then your leads the A, because those are obviously closer, you know, to being a customer, in my opinion. But the thing that's happening in, especially in our industry, is that, you know, a lot of people are getting, and I'm holding my, and I'm using your phrase here, I'm holding my quote fingers up. A lot of people are getting leads, but we have to understand that, you know, if our definition of a lead, like for me, that's somebody that actually came in and did a trial, well, that doesn't fit for me, meaning that somebody put in their first name and last name or first name and email address or just email address on a website to get a report or to get to the next page or whatever.
Right.
They're not a lead. And we have to understand that if they only have to put their email address in, or if they only have to put their first name and email address in, yes, it's a step. And I'm not saying that it isn't a good idea to do that in some instances, but we have to be careful how we are going to, you know, how we're going to label them and our excitement level. Because, it's wonderful. Like I mentioned to you that last week we did a anti-abduction seminar. I had like 90-some-odd people come or whatever it was. Well, some of those people were past students that saw it, wanted to come in and do the anti-abduction. Some were absolutely brand-new people that have never been into our school before. Some have been for birthday parties, whatever. But the individuals that have, you know, aren't doing it, they weren't looking for karate per se. They were looking for something to help protect their kids. And the anti-abduction seminar was it. To me, they are, you know, they're not even a prospect to me. They're a suspect. They're a cold call. And I treat them differently. I don't necessarily get excited about them like I do a lead, because I know my conversion rate for a lead. I know that every time, you know, 10 people do a class, meaning that they come in and try a first class, I know that, you know, 68 to 69% of those people are going to sign up. I know it.
Right.
Just because I know my numbers. And unless the floor changes and we suck on the floor, or the program director, you know, our presentation, you know, if that starts becoming an issue, then obviously the stats can make a difference too. So I just want to kind of draw that. I know it's a long statement, but chime in. I'm sorry. I was taking the floor.
No. That's great though that you're doing that. And it's, and you know, it isn't a long-winded explanation, because to be honest, it's not even, it really only barely touches the surface.
Yeah.
In regards to people understanding where they stand in regards to lead generation. So I'll go one step further. Like, for example, we do tons of birthday parties at my school. They're great. They actually make us a lot of money, you know, because we charge a decent fee for them. We like doing them because if you have a dynamic person who's selling on the floor, we do get some sign-ups. However, those people who sign up from those parties are less likely, or they're much more difficult to get them to convert than if you were to get someone who called up and said, hey, I'm interested in martial art classes, I would love to come down and try it out. Those people who are doing that have showed an interest to become part of your school. Now what you have to do is convert, right? And that's really the most important thing. So you're right. So like, for example, we do a birthday party. There's 30 kids at a party. We're salivating. Most school owners are salivating. That's great. This is going to be amazing. We have 37 leads. No, you have 37 people who are going to a birthday party that they may have absolutely no interest whatsoever in martial art training at all. They, in fact, probably don't. They would just come into the party, and they would come to the party if it was like a competition badminton party, because Johnny is inviting them to the party. That's the only reason why they're there. It could be like, yeah, rock climbing. Does that mean they're going to become avid rock climbers? No. So that's what I call a suspect, barely a suspect, because those leads are really not generated on proper pretense. Does that make sense? Is that realistic?
It totally does. And that's where we, I think, in the martial arts industry have to be educated and understand the difference between these. And that's why we're doing this call, is because,
yeah,
you know, sometimes we're told that a certain system or company or whatever, a website or what have you, we'll make sure that we generate, you know, these amount of leads for you. Well, if they're only putting in their email address, or if they're only putting in their first name and email address, we've got to understand that, okay, yeah, maybe they're again, quote unquote lead, and they are, but what type of lead, what category is it? Is it a
right.
C, is it a B, or is it an A? And in most cases, those are C's, or for us, like we're talking about, they're suspects.
And
they're
a poor
cold,
one.
Like I call them cold calls.
Yeah, and the poor one to boot, because they're so, and here's the thing. There are some people who in this industry, like, for example, most listeners know this, so I'm not really selling, is that I build websites for many school owners, right? I have a website business, Elite Insights, and we do, our website company is much different than others because we are a much more branded-based website. Here's my theory on this, and I know that you agree because we've had many conversations, that we want to separate and segregate ourselves from other schools. We don't want to be just like, which clients think that all karate schools are equal. They think that every one of my parents in my school that have never gone anywhere else, that came in and joined my school, believes in their head that every other school does perfect attendance awards, does a sticker system, does a buyback on trophies for awards to bigger trophies, doesn't charge for belt testing. All of these things, they just automatically assume every other school does that. So the interesting thing is that we need to separate ourselves, and that's through branding and really showing brand identity. However, most people in the industry are not doing that. So there are boilerplate websites everywhere. Now, the reason why I brought this up is that we want to separate ourselves so that there's a connection between what our online presence is and when they walk in the door. Because sometimes you see a school, the website's gorgeous, you go into the school and it's absolutely disgusting. And it's something that, you know, they see a traditional martial arts school on the web, and then they walk into the school and it's red, white, and blue flags and, you know, sport-based black belt sparring mentality kind of thing. You know what I mean? So there is a consistency. So anyway, so now with that being said, a lead, for example, if you look at Google and you just see how many people visit websites, those would be considered suspects, right? Because they're just clicking and checking it out. They're not doing anything. They're not taking any action. And then they have, let's say on the website, they have an inquiry box where someone can fill it out. Now, the statistics of most of these coaches and even some web experts say, don't ask for too much information because you won't get anything. And I get that. It really kind of almost works in the benefit of the school, of the website company, because they're saying, hey, look, we just generated 100 leads for you this month. And then there are companies out there that actually will say, okay, now you have to go into our marketing funnel, and we have another system to convert those leads, so pay us more money. And then we'll do X, Y, and Z until they finally become prospects, right? And they give you a call, or they take advantage of an online special. However, I go by the philosophy, like, get as much information. Let's make sure the majority of these people that are interested are real. They really care. They want to join. They want to be called back. They want to give you the phone number. Because if not, then what's the sense of it anyway?
Yeah, well, and you want a qualified person to walk through your door because you're spending a lot of money to advertise anyways. And I want somebody that's sitting across from me that has had to jump through some hoops.
Right.
It's not been easy. Now, I don't make it difficult, but they've had to do some extra things, and then I know that they're a lot more interested, be it whether you're doing, you know, a two-week free and a free uniform offer, or you're doing a six-week, you know, $69 paid trial or whatever. And that's debate for another day on whether free or paid trials are what you should do. But it's important to understand that when they have to go through some more hoops,
right,
they're more qualified. Now, I'm not, and nor are you, saying that it isn't a good idea, or that, excuse me, that it's not not a good idea to lead generate, meaning, you know, get suspects in. We do it because you're doing birthday parties, you know, because we're doing, like, the first year we did field trips. I mean, we had, I would say, in between 750 and 800 suspects. I mean, that came
right
through our door doing the field trips. And of course, the first year that we did it, I was like a kid in a candy shop. I was so happy. And then
right,
to come to find out, I think we converted, you know, maybe four or five.
Right. That's a real big thing. So I want the listeners to hear that too. So it's very important for us to make sure that we don't put all our eggs in one basket, right? But at the same time, we don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. So what I mean by that is, don't be just satisfied with going to a fair and handing out 1,000 flyers and getting a bunch of people to put their name in the lead box, because even though you may get 5, 10, you know, 8 people, it's still worth your effort. Because, you know, when we look at student value, we realize that, you know, one client could be worth $1,800 for the school for the year, right? So,
right.
Worth it. So if I went to a fair and I spent the day and it cost me $200-$300 and, you know, I had to pay some staff or whatever the case may be, it was still worth it, because if I signed only 3 people up financially, it was a profit.
Right.
And that's something that you look at it like that, you go like, yeah, it's worth it. However, sometimes when we look at things, we might have been able to spend that time smarter and put it into this area and maybe convert 12 leads or 15, get 15 qualified leads. So it really all depends on what you're doing and if you're tracking your results.
Well, and understand too, the reason that we're doing all these other things, there's more to it than just that. Like for me, I still do school speeches, but I get paid to do them. I don't do them free anymore. And I switch to the field trips because they have to fill out the waiver and I get all the information. I can follow up with them. But the other thing is they're bringing 2 or 3 or 4 teachers along with other parents. And I've actually found that the other parents are impressed. I mean, the teachers are too, but see, I want to do this because I want them to see that we're totally different. I want them to see what we do here matters. I want the teachers to be the ones at the student teacher or student parent teacher conferences saying, you know, Johnny's a little lacked in focus, and I think that martial arts might be a good thing for him, and this is the place I would recommend. And I can't tell you how many times that we've had that. But see, then not only do we, you know, get their information, of course we're trying to get them on a trial or what have you, but
right,
we enter all their information in and other systems take over. So they're
right,
getting, like, I do a blog post every single day. So every single day, Monday through Friday, they're getting a blog post if I have their email address, unless they opt out.
Mm-hmm.
They're also about 6 weeks before their birthday. If they're in the age of 6 to 12, then they're getting a birthday postcard from us inviting them to come in with a special price to do one of our 3 birthday party packages that we do. And we have people that come back and do birthday parties. And then sometimes they come back in for the bully buster or the anti-abduction. And so we're just making those small connections. Some of them never, ever pan out, but they have such a great experience that when, and I'm sure some people have not had a good experience here. I'm not saying that we're all that in a bag of chips.
I am a realist,
but most of them, I would say, you know, probably 95 to 98% have a great experience, and they share that experience with other individuals who then maybe are interested in martial arts. So we have that word of mouth. And so it's not a bad thing to be collecting these suspects or these cold calls, but don't get so excited that they're going to turn into students right away, or if ever. But they may be a catalyst for other things that you can do, be it, you know, paid or unpaid. You can use that to your benefit, and it helps to build the awareness in your community of who you are and what you do.
Right. Absolutely. And here, going.
I feel like I'm taking over the call. I feel like I'm talking much on this call.
Well, that's okay, dude. I love listening to you, and I'm happy that you do, because I feel that way most of the time, so don't feel bad. I'm happy to just be listening, and I love what you're saying. So to clarify for me, I would like the listeners to understand that it's okay to ask for a ton of information. You don't have to necessarily make the information mandatory. So in other words, when you have an inquiry box on your website, you can have fields. It could say name, first and last name, phone number, email, and comments, right? Everything doesn't have to be a mandatory field. In other words, they don't have to fill out every single field in order for the email to be allowed to be submitted. That's, you know, mandatory fields mean that if you don't fill out every single field, it won't go through. So you could have the fields. The mandatory field would be email, name, and then you could have a optional phone number and optional comments. However, I find that we don't even put mandatory fields on our email inquiry boxes, and we have name, phone number, email, and comments, and people fill them out, and you wouldn't believe it how many times people fill out like a 3-paragraph reason as to why they want to be involved in this program. I mean, they're digging in. They're really digging in. My kid is being picked on. He's a beautiful kid. He's small. He's this. They're pouring their heart out on the internet. You know what that does for us? That gives us so many tools to connect them to our school once we get them to come in. And they're pretty committed if they're pouring their heart out that they're going to come in to try to solve this problem. So that's why I love leads that are generated that have a lot of information and are you know, full and solid. Now, there's a company out there, Volusion. They're a very big internet, million-dollar internet company, and they believe the more information, the better. That's their philosophy. They say ask for as much information as you can get. Don't go by the philosophy of just asking for an email and a phone number. Now, here, I want to say this again. When companies say that, they're almost buying themselves a free pass. So, in other words, I have clients that I build websites for. Some of them have left me and gone to other companies, while I've acquired people from the other companies. However, when they go to the other company is saying, well, just get a bunch of leads. That's and we get you 200-300 leads a month, and that's all good. Then when I go back and I ask them, well, how many of them have converted? One of my clients right now who's switching over to my website company is saying, you know, yeah, I've gotten hundreds of leads. I mean, it's been 3-4 months. I've gotten hundreds, literally like 300-400 leads. Not one of them signed up for a web special. Not one of them followed up on the follow-up emails. Not one of them have called up. Not one of them have responded to our email. So I often wonder, are these just people who are up late at night who are drunk, who want to learn karate, and then when they wake up and they wake up and the hangover's gone, and they go, oh, crap, I gave them my email? And how many people I've heard that say that they have a phony, bogus email account just for these type of things? Where they'll plug it in and they very rarely check it. They just put in, you know, joeschmo@gmail.com, and that's for all the spam email that they fill out forms, and then they'll every once in a blue moon sort through it all.
Well, here's the thing is, and I'm not saying that this is like I before E except after C. Sometimes the rule is broken. But most of these companies are using B2B principles, meaning business-to-business principles, in a B and C market, meaning a business-to-customer market. And so us as school owners, when we opt into things, we're used to, you know, just putting in our email address or putting in our name and email address because we're running a business and we're looking to someone else who is selling us something from their business, and that's the norm. But
right.
we also have to understand that we're most or the majority of our consumers, they're not even in that world
right.
like we are on a daily basis. Now, of course, if they're going to sign up for, I don't know, a daily deal or something, and all they got to do is put in their, you know, first name and email address, that they're getting emails about a daily deal. That's totally different than, you know, our
right.
martial arts special or what have you. So we got to understand that not all the principles that are done in B2B can be or should be applied in B2C, meaning, you know, business to consumer. And then the other thing is, I've got a quick story about how people do give you all sorts of information. Think about when we go to any place and they ask you and the transaction for your phone number, or for your email address or zip code. I can't
right.
tell you how many people I stand in front of listening to them give the information. And I'm like,
right.
oh, my gosh. Like, I say, no, why do you need it? I'm not giving it to you. You know,
right.
but one time I wasn't here, and the kid that was working the desk was my nephew, front desk. And I was at home, and I Skyped him, and I said, hey, there's these 10 people, 12 people, whatever it was. I don't remember. I don't even remember what it was from. But I needed him to call them and get some extra information from them. And I was goofing around at the end of my Skype to him. I said, also, I need you to ask for their blood type.
Right.
I was kidding. I thought, surely he would have known that I was kidding.
Right.
He literally called all those people, and some of them gave the blood type. Others were like, you know, I don't know, but I'll have to call you back with it. Out of the 10 or 12, maybe 15, I have no idea. I don't remember. It was so long ago. But let's just say 12. Nobody said, well, why do you need it?
Right, right.
Nobody. That would have been my first – well, why do you need that? That would have been my first question. People
yeah.
will give you all the information that you ask for. I totally
right.
believe in that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And so, and there's the thing, especially if they're interested. So, for example, I just got an email from Tesla Motors, which is the, you know, the electronic car company that is run by Elon Musk. And I noticed that they now have used Teslas so that you could buy a car that was on lease that, you know, most of them are, you know, of toy cars for the wealthy, so that they don't have much mileage on them. So they're selling these cars at like half the price, half the price. Sorry, my dogs are really giving me a hard time today. And it's rainy over here, so they're locked in the house, so they're driving me crazy. But anyway, so Tesla is now selling the car. So they have it. You could go online and see the car. It actually has the photos, the interior, and all of that stuff. And then you put your information in if you want to buy one. You know, so I literally put in my info, my name, my phone number, my email, my my town, and all of that stuff because I'm serious. Right. So if I wasn't serious, I'd put in a bogus account or I wouldn't fill it out. So for me, I think that, you know, this, it gives us the people who are that really care and want to possibly become part of our school. Right. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I would,
and stats show that the people that give you the more information convert at a higher rate than the ones that don't. And I'll even say this, like last year, and I think I said this on a previous call, maybe two calls ago, three calls ago, but last year we did our summer special for 1995, and then the people that were late, meaning that the special was over, we gave it to them for $39.95, but they didn't get
right.
like a full 3 months. They only got like 2.5 months or whatever. Well,
yeah.
long story short, more people that paid the $39.95 percentage-wise signed up for the
right.
program than the 1995. They were more
yeah.
committed. They gave us more. And that does translate even into information, not just, you know, monetary.
Right. And there, because there is a much more higher threshold of entry, right? So that's where we have to ask. But here's the thing. Check this out. I'll email this to you, Dwayne, so that you can put it up on this call if you think you know it's a good one. It's called the sales pyramid. I put this together based on sales studies that are not related to any one specific industry. And my sales pyramid is, you know, there's a picture of the pyramid. If you could picture a pyramid, and it's divided into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 categories, right? At the top apex of the pyramid, the top part of the pyramid, it says 3%. Right below that is 7%. And then there are 3 sections with 30% each. Basically, the statistics go like this. It says that in the sales pyramid, 3% of the people are ready to buy now. They're right. They've almost already made the decision. The only thing you could do is to screw up the sale and be an idiot, and they won't buy. They go to your school. It smells. They don't get greeted at the door. The kid comes in, and you're yelling at other kids, and parents are, you know, whatever the case may be. If you don't do any of those things, they're going to buy now. They've already made the decision, and they called you, and they're the 3%ers that buy because they're ready. The other 7% are open to it. All they need is some sort of motivation. You have to connect some dots that will show why they should be in your program and how it will benefit them and change their lives for the better. That's the other 7%. So that's 10% out of 100%. The other 30% are not thinking about it. Basically, those are the ones that are kind of, you know, like, hey, they're the ones that are fishing around the internet. They're the ones that are just kind of putting in their name and no email, right? They're the ones that are like, hey, well, you know, make me do this. Well, you know, it was just a thought that night. Like I said, they were drinking and they want to now fight like Steven Seagal because they were watching a Steven Seagal movie and drinking at the same time. and then the other 30%, because now we're up to, right now we're up to 40%, the other 30%, they don't think they're interested. They're going to take some work. They're the ones that are probably the ones at the birthday party who you may sell, you know, convince to do a special, and they're still saying, yeah, we're going to do this special. They're the Grouponers that are buying it and saying, yeah, after we're done with our Groupon, we're going to go over and do whatever else. We're going to do Pilates or we're going to do yoga, and we're just going to keep jumping around. The last 30% are not interested. Basically, they're the ones that they're just not, no matter what, like I'm at the fair all the time and I go to hand someone a flyer and they go, no, I'm good. They don't even know what it's for. And then I go, $100 free, and they still walk past me. No, I'm good. They don't even hear you because they're just totally shut down to the possibility of buying your program or of anything that has anything to do with what you're doing, right? So it's an interesting dynamic where we look at that and we say to ourselves, wow, these are the percentages of who we could – so who do we focus on? As a business, it makes sense to focus on the top 10%, right? Because those are going to be ones that are probably going to purchase much quicker, right? And here's another – can I kind of commandeer and take over a little bit more? I'm sorry. One other thing as far as salespeople – is interesting, and here's another dynamic, and I have this article as well. It's called Ninja Sales Skills, Why Salespeople Fail, and it tells about a story of when I wanted to buy my car. I won't go into any of that. They could read it, but it says that 48% of all salespeople never follow up with a client. 25% of all salespeople only make a second contact, and then they quit. And then it says 12% of salespeople only make 3 contacts. Only 10% of the salespeople make more than 3 contacts. 2% of the sales are made on the first contact. 3% of the sales are made on the second contact. 5% of the sales on the third, and the 10% are on the fourth. But 80% of the sales are made on the fifth to the 12th contact. This is all sales data that was from sales agencies. It has nothing to do with martial arts.
Right.
So if you
it's a broad stroke. The other thing is. The stats are irrefutable, and
right.
If you really first define these areas of these individuals, meaning suspect, prospect, lead, or if you want to do C, B, A, or whatever, 3, 2, 1, doesn't matter, and then plug them into the follow-up systems.
Right.
It's just amazing what can happen, but I just, I don't know. I just find it's disheartening. You know, it was disheartening when I was so excited, and I know this stuff, right? I was so excited to have 750, 800, you know, suspects, if you will, from these field trips. And I signed up, you know, four or five of them. And they, and a few of them weren't very good. Like they didn't stay very long or didn't stay the whole time that they were supposed to or what have you. They just, you know, we gave them a special deal. We tried to get them in and they just, they weren't qualified. And that's, you know, the problem is we're, we got to make sure that we spend our time and our money on the qualified individual, the top 10%, like you spoke about.
Right.
And then, and you actually spend the most amount of money with those people, and then you spend less with the others and less with the others and less with the others. And when those other people start moving up the ladder, then, of course, the more money is going to be spent on them and time.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Here's one thing, though, too, that I want to also clarify. Maybe not only focus on the top 10%, but why not concentrate on getting more of the top 10%? Right. So that's a real thing that we have to really work hard at in order to be able to achieve. In other words, where do those top 10% come from? Where are they? Like, where do we find them? Are they, you know, and I've tried the income thing, you know, everyone making money $150,000 or more with a household of two children or more who live within a blah, blah, blah. And I found that didn't even work. I mean, the wealthy have a lot more opportunity so that they're less likely to be create an urgency on what we do. However, I find that, you know, middle class, you know, hardworking, blue collar people will be the first to buy my program. I mean, I've had people driving up in Ferraris and Mercedes and giving me a hard time, not only nickel and diming me to death, but also not caring if they want the kids wanted to quit because they had another 37 activities that they could put them in. They weren't kind of held up by that at all. So anyway, I'm just saying, where do we find, you know, the top percentage of people? I think one of the biggest ones, just given one idea as far as a lead, is definitely referrals, right?
Yes.
That's one of our biggest ways to get referrals and be able to do that and be able to, you know, get qualified leads in the door. As long as the referral is genuine.
Agreed. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the other thing is, you know, making your brand of who you are known to everybody in any way, shape, or form that you can do. I mean, that's why I decided, I mean, not only to get new students, but that's why I did the school speeches, and that's why I did the you know, the field trips. That's why I also do the Teach Appreciation Awards Night to get more people in the door. That's why I do the anti-abduction or the bullying programs that we do, or the self-defense programs at a low cost to get people in, just so they can get a feel. Every time I write a book, you know, I give away books. I go to radio stations and give them books to give away, you know, along with just, I want my name out there. I want just what we do and who we are to permeate this town. So when anybody thinks of the word martial arts, that, you know, Dwayne Brummett's TriStar Martial Arts Academy is synonymous with karate or martial arts. And of course there's other schools, but I want them to think of us first. And not only that, I want them to have a good thought about us.
Right. And you know what? We sound, you and I both sound a little contradictory, because we're saying get as much information, you know, do qualified leads. And then we're saying, yeah, but do the fair and still do the, you know, the birthday parties and still. But then the people might be listening going, but that isn't the same lead as what you're talking about, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to be clear and say, hey, listen, you know, we don't ever want you to just do one thing. You should have a massive toolbox of how you are going to gather leads. And the more people through the sales funnel, the better. However, I want to make sure that you do look at things and go, okay, well, if I'm going to spend money, I'm going to do it in the area that I know is best suited for my school, right? So I'm not going to take the time to be able to you know, go out and say, okay, I'm going to spend money on a newspaper for bartenders, you know, where all bartenders read that trade magazine, and I'm going to put an ad in for martial art lessons, right? So that wouldn't make sense, right? So that's where I wouldn't do it. But however, if it is a parent magazine, there's a chance that possibly I'll be able to get some leads out of it.
Right. I mean, unless your school is primarily adults, you know, then you'd be marketing it a little bit differently.
Right.
Where maybe that magazine would apply to
right.
what you're doing. But again, it all comes back to the brand that you have. And I don't think we're being contradictory here, only because I think we qualified the fact that it is important to get those suspects in. But it's
right.
it's more important that, you know, after you get them in, what do you do with them? And not to get super excited that now you have, you know, like I said, 750, 800 suspects. And, you know, I should, if my percentages are even 50% of people that try out, sign up, and, you know, 80% actually make an appointment, well, then I don't even know what that is to do the numbers. But I could not even handle that many new students
right.
out of that 800. So, you know, I want everyone to be realistic, but understand that when somebody talks about a lead, you got to make sure that you're both using the same definition. So if a company or a website or whatever says that they're going to get you X number of leads, make sure that you are and they are saying the same thing when you're talking about a lead. And if you want to use the definitions that we're using, suspect is, you know, basically a cold call. Prospect is somebody that actually rose their hand. They want to take action on an offer. Some do, some don't. And then for me, a lead is somebody that actually came in and showed up for a class.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And then after they show up for the class, whether they sign up or they don't, then it goes into a whole different funnel and a treatment. Because if they leave and walk out the door, they're 50% less likely to sign up after that first day, unless you have some sort of program that you put them on that's like a 2-week special, 1-week special, or whatever. So there's a few other things, you know, that are taking effect. But anyway, so going back to our main topic, right, was that it's not bad to ask for as much information as you could get. It's not bad when someone calls up, you say, what's your name, what's your phone number, what's your address, what's your email, you know, what is your kid looking for, what are you looking for your child, and getting all that information, because the more fact-finding you do, the best it's going to be for selling that person, signing that person up, connecting them to what you do.
Yep, and we even
ask
for birthdays. Yeah, we'll ask on the phone. We'll ask for their birthday. Even on the web, we ask for the kid's birthday. Well, why do we do that? Well, one, it's another step that they have to go through. But then, two, I want them on the birthday mailers. So whether
right.
they ever sign up or not, they're going to get, you know, that information.
Well, here's the thing.
So,
I have people, and before you mentioned it, it was you had said that, you know, different levels of prospects, right? Even the old students. And I actually I sat in to see a lady post about her wedding anniversary. She's an old parent of ours. And I said, oh, we really miss the boys at the dojo. She says, don't worry, they're coming to summer camp this year. I'm like, oh, that's cool. See, so no matter what, they might not be training in my dojo, but they might do my one-night camp, my one-week camp, my full summer camp. They're always going to be in the prospect funnel until they opt out of your email list and say, I'm not interested anymore. Then that's when they go. However, there's
right.
never a time where they're, you know, if they're still out there, just even seeing your email and listening a little, then I have people I see all the time. Their kids haven't trained in 6-7 years. They're like, we still get your emails. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm glad you haven't opted out. Maybe one day you'll come back. Yeah, well, you know, we wish that, you know, whoever, Travis, would come back, you know, and we're working on it, that kind of thing.
Right, yep.
So anyway, so you're right, though. There's never, ever a bad time to continually market, you know, and it's always be marketing, you know, or ABS, always be selling.
Yep. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Cool. I already
beat
you. Dwayne, I sent you my two articles. So I sent you Never Ever Sales article, because I know you always like send me that and then I forget. And I also sent you the other one, which is the sales pyramid. So I think we can include both of these on the list of, you know, given away for free. And
yep.
I'm excited to keep on moving forward. We have some really cool things that we're sharing with people in the near future that you and I are keeping kind of a secret right now, but we'll be talking about that in the near future.
Real soon. So, yeah, I'm excited. So,
yeah.
Well, everybody understand, again, just last thing, make sure that, you know, your definitions are in check. And when you're researching for emails or, you know, email companies or whatever. Just make sure that you guys are using the same definitions, meaning the same things, because otherwise it can be very confusing. And I don't want you to be disappointed or, you know, overly jazzed about something that isn't going to be, because the definitions aren't synonymous.
Right. Absolutely. Very good.
All right, everyone, share this with the other school owners. We've gotten some great feedback with regards to new people coming along and actually, you know, finding out about us through, you know, you. So, you know, feel free to share it. And, Allie, thanks for everything today.
No problem. Thank you, Dwayne. And everybody out there, have a great day, great week, and, you know, really, you know, take what we have and hopefully turn it into some success for yourself.